Hello.
Okay, there we go.
Listen, let me share something with y'all. I'm not new to this week. The devil been trying all week with me. But I thank God that we know that he's a liar. And I'm going to tell you, this is amazing, and I thank God just for this little mic messing up. And I say that because in my sermon, we're going to talk about God getting the glory anyway. Now, in my sermon, I'm going to give y'all just a touch before I get into it. There's two sisters that this individual had. And these two sisters were praying heavy for this individual. And what I'm saying is that it's good to have some women in your life that know how to pray. Because to us men this morning, I'm telling you, had it not been for a lot of the women in our lives, we wouldn't be where we are today. We've had some women that have been praying for us. So this morning, I want to acknowledge some women that have been in my life that I know have been praying for me. There's some women in my life that when I went through my illness, they were praying for me. And I know that's why I'm here today. Amen. I want to first acknowledge the woman of my life who has stuck by me through thick and thin. She hung in there enough with me until God changed my life to be who I am today. And I remember I told my wife one day, it's been some years now, I told her, I said, you know, if I was you, I would have left me a long time ago. And she looked at me and said, well, I knew what I was doing because if you had a left, you would have been missing something. So I want to give my wife her flowers while she can smell them. So come and get them. Thank you for always praying for me. Amen. Amen. Now there's another woman that has loved me from day one. And that woman raised me to be the man that I am today. And y'all, I tell you, it ain't nothing like my mother. So, Mama, I need you to come and accept these flowers this morning. While my mother's coming, there's another woman who I love dearly, and she means so much to me because she has shown me so much love over the years. Mama, I love you. I thank God for you, and you are the best mother that I could have. There's another woman that is very close to me in my life. And she's such an awesome woman when you look at faith. When you look at a woman that continues to pray for her family, no matter what she goes through, she continues to remain faithful. And she's a strong woman. And I thank God that he has kept her in my life for so many years. I want to honor my Aunt Velma Ross this morning. Aunt Velma, you could stay there. I'm going to bring them to you. I'll take it to you. My Aunt Velma, she's amazing because she loves me like I'm one of her kids. And there's another woman who I love dearly, and we should call them the twins. But this woman, she loves me as well as one of her kids, and that's my Aunt Oley. I thank God for my Aunt Oley. Amen. Now there's another woman. There's another woman that when I say a ride or die, and I'm talking about stick with you no matter what, loves me unconditionally, always there to support me, always there to have an ear for me, always loving me. And that is my cousin, Tasha Novell, who is really my sister. Tasha, I want you to come and get these flowers. This is my cousin, but I promise I don't claim her as my cousin. This is my sister. Sis, I love you. I appreciate you so much for always being there for me. God bless you. Now, there's another woman. And this woman has truly, truly been a blessing to me. And she's been a blessing to me because God brought her into my life for a reason. And I thank God for her strength. I thank God for what he's doing in her life. And I thank God that she continues to listen to the Lord. And she is doing what the Lord has called her to do. And I thank her for her strength. And she truly represents what it is to be a lady. And that's my sister, Janetta Dixon. It's my sister. Now there's one more woman. And this woman, I tell you, this woman, she's an amazing woman. When I tell you, love God. When I tell you, love her family. When I tell you, this woman, she's a prayer warrior. and she loves God with all her heart. And even in times when you may be going through and you don't even know that she knows you're going through, she always come through. And I thank God for this woman. And that's my Aunt Mady Clay. Searcy, I'm sorry. My Aunt Mady Searcy. Aunt Mady, come and get your flowers. Amen. I love you. Amen. Now there's another woman, and she's not here today because of her circumstances. This woman is an angel to me in my life, and I have to acknowledge her this morning. This woman is very special. And when you talk about an angel on earth, she is the angel on earth. I love her dearly, and she is truly a prayer warrior. And it's because of her that sometimes when I'm here doing my preaching, I could look in her face and she give me a smile that just lets me know everything is going good. And that's my cousin, Julia Henry. Yeah, she deserves it. She deserves it. So I want to acknowledge Julia this morning. And this is it right here. There's some more women. And these women are women who truly love God, and they support God, they lift him up. And that is every one of you that are here today. I give my love to each and every one of you. So as the women stand in the church, men, let's give them a round of applause. Amen. Now, there's a woman that surprised me this morning, and I thank God for her, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have her. And she's been special to me from day one. She told me a long time ago, I knew you was the one. And I said, thank you, Lord. And that's my mother-in-law that sits right here, Dorothy Garrett. Mom, I love you. Amen. We're going to check the mic one more time so we can get into the word this morning. Amen. It's not gonna work, but the word gonna go forward.
All right. Amen.
Choir, can y'all give me something? I don't care what it is. You know I need to hear from y'all this morning before I get going. Yes, ma'am. I want to get whatever you want. Give it up for the choir. Give it up for the choir. There we go. Are y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Give God some praise, because he's worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when I was praying, asking the Lord, what is it that he would have me to preach on? I struggled. And when I began to realize what he told me to preach on, the Holy Spirit told me that there will be no notes. And I said, Lord, what do you mean that there will be no notes? I always have an outline. He says, not this morning. He said, this morning you're going to come straight from the Bible, and you're not going to depend on your notes. You're going to depend on me. I'm telling y'all, this really happened. And as I sat at my desk, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe that's just me thinking this. So as I pulled out my notepad, the Holy Spirit said, be obedient. I said, okay. The Holy Spirit said, there's a word that I need to go forward. It's my word, not your word. He said, I'm just using you to speak through you. And I said, okay, your way, Lord. This morning, God revealed to me that somebody's sick. And a lot of times we think sick means health sick. Not true. A lot of us are sick in our marriage. A lot of us are sick in our thinking. A lot of us are sick in our unforgiveness. And we must understand today, in order to be healed, we must walk with Jesus. Amen. There's a great physician that is here this morning, and his name is not Dr. Frazier. His name is Jesus. So for anyone that wants to be healed today, you're going to have to receive Jesus the Christ, and you're going to have to walk with Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you. Father, for it is you who deserves all glory. And it is your Son, Jesus Christ, that must be glorified. Father, your people have come this morning to hear a word from you. And I humble myself this morning, Father God, that you would choose me to use. Father, I ask that your word would go forward and penetrate the hearts, not only of your people, but of me. Because before the word goes forward, I have to receive it first. So allow me to give your word boldly and allow it to penetrate hearts. That your people this day, Father God, would find forgiveness in their hearts, that they may also be forgiven. Allow each and every one of us, Father God, to understand that this is the day that we must come to you. For tomorrow is not promised.
Allow us, Father God, to receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, and know that it is nothing that we can do without him. Father, bless your people who wanted to be here this morning but were not able to make it. Bless each and every one of us, Father God, because each and every one of us have a sickness somewhere in our hearts. I decree and I declare right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will remove it. For none of us know what today holds and what tomorrow may bring. I give you the honor and the glory forever and evermore. In the name that is above every name, Jesus the Christ. And the people of God said amen, amen, and amen. First, giving honor and glory to God, who is truly the Lord of my life. I thank God for Jesus the Christ. To my brothers that I share the pulpit with, and to my sisters that I share the pulpit with as well that are not here. And especially a special prayer that we must remember in our hearts for our sister, Dr. Brenda Thomas. We must continue to keep each other lifted up. To the deacons of this church, I thank each and every one of you for the hard work that you guys put in. A lot of times we sit back and we don't understand what you all have to go through and what you all do, but I give you honor this morning. Thank God for you. To the choir who comes every Sunday to sing their heart outs for the Lord, and for each and every one of you that are here, God bless you. Can we put the scriptures up? This morning, I want to talk about This morning, I want to talk about a sickness. And a lot of times we go through life and we carry baggage because we feel like God is not doing what we want him to do when we want him to do it. But I say to you this morning, remember and understand that God is always up to something. And the something that God is up to is not for you to know until it's time for him to tell you. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of the scripture. Let us read. And a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sister, Mary and Martha. And this is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said, "Disciples, let's go back to Judea." You may sit down. We're going to get later on into the scriptures as I go. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. The Bible says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Martha and Mary sends the messenger out to find Jesus. And he tells Jesus, in the King James it says, the one that you loved is sick. Jesus says his sickness will not end in death. Can you imagine that when the messenger came back to Martha and Mary and there was no Jesus? The pain and the agony that they were going through because they had their loved one was sick on the verge of dying. I could imagine that when they saw the messenger coming back without Jesus, it became more painful. I couldn't imagine my mother sending me to go get Jesus, and I come back without Jesus. My mother would look at me and say, boy, what did I tell you? I told you to bring Jesus back. And the only thing that I can say is, but Jesus said his sickness won't end in death. He said it's for the glory of God, and so that Jesus would receive glory from it. How many times have you prayed? How many times have you called on God only for him not to show up? How many times have you prayed hoping that God would show up in the hospital room? How many times have you prayed for God to show up at the bedside because a loved one was sick and God don't show? What we have to understand is God is outcome, but we are process. God is outcome, but we are process. What am I talking about? What I'm saying is there's some times that you're going to have to go through some pain because it's a process. There's some times that you're going to pray to God to show up, and God's not going to show up because there's a process. But in order for you to get to God's outcome, you got to go through the process. You can't get to God's outcome without going through the process. It's not that God doesn't show up because he don't love you. He doesn't show up sometimes because he loves you. Why? Because God is going to get the glory for it, and Jesus is going to be glorified for what is done. A lot of times we become upset because God ain't showing up. But sometimes it's the good times God don't show up, because if he showed up every time that we wanted him to, we'd be in trouble. And if he showed up when Martha and Mary wanted him to show up, they never could have seen the miracle. There's a miracle waiting in your life, so you're going to have to be patient. There's a miracle that's going to happen in your life, but you're going to have to be patient and wait on the Lord. And the Bible says, finally he said to his disciple, let's go back to Judea. That's a problem. The Bible says that the disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. And you saying we got to go back? Lord, listen, you want to think about this? But what the disciples were missing is that Jesus already knew that no weapons formed against him shall prosper, because it wasn't his appointed time to die. He already knew we can go back through Judea no matter what's going on, no matter what they tried to do, because it's not my time. Jesus was invincible. There's nothing that they could have done to him. And it says, Jesus told the disciples, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. What is Jesus saying? Jesus was explaining to the disciples, I am with you. As long as you're walking with me, you're going to be able to see, because I am the light of this world. We have to understand, in order for us to see in our lives, we're going to have to walk with Jesus. But then he says that, but at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. King James Version says they have no light in them. See, when you walk without God, there is no light. You wonder why you keep going in circles and going in circles and going in circles. That's because you're walking in darkness. You're not walking with the Lord. You want some things to change in your life, you're going to have to walk with Jesus. Amen. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciple said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll soon get better. The disciples were so scared to go back to Judea. They saying, Lord, listen, if he sleep, we ain't got to go back. He going to get better. What are we going back for? But what the disciples didn't understand is Jesus really meant he was dead. Listen, when we leave this place, we all gonna go to sleep. But the fact of the matter is, we're not dead. See, there's somebody this morning who has lost a loved one. And I'm telling you this morning, don't worry about nothing, because they've only fallen asleep. And the reason that they've only fallen asleep is because there is no death in Jesus. Jesus is the life. This is why he said, I'm going to wake Lazarus up. There is no death in Jesus. To us, we feel like we lose a loved one and it's a separation. But I tell you what, as long as they were in Jesus, Jesus is going to wake them up. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Okay, I told y'all he was asleep, but y'all saying if he wake up, let me make it plain. He said, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. He's talking to the disciples, y'all, who's been with him all this time. He said, for your sakes, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. How many times have we prayed to God? How many times have we prayed to God? How many times have we prayed to God and we still don't believe what we're praying? God wants us to believe. Without faith, you have nothing. So Thomas, nicknamed Twin, in King James it says, Didymus, said, to the fellow disciples. Listen to this, y'all. Thomas said, "Let's go and die with Jesus." Thomas just knew that when we get back to Judea, we going to die. They just got finished stoning us. Have you ever been hit with a rock in your head? See, they wasn't doing drive-bys with bullets. They was doing drive-bys with stones. You get hit in your head hard enough, it's going to kill you. And it was a lot of Jews trying to kill Jesus. And Thomas says, "Come on, y'all. Let's go back. Let's go die with Jesus." Look at the loyalty, though. Look at the loyalty that Thomas had for Jesus. That I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to die with you. How many of us this morning are truly willing to die with Jesus? And if we're truly willing to die with Jesus, we're going to have to get some hate up out of our hearts. We're going to have to get some forgiveness in our hearts. We're going to have to put some love in our hearts. If you're willing to die with Jesus, you're going to have to carry your cross too.
Amen. This thing going good because some of y'all looking real mean at me. That's all right. God is good.
When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. Now, Mary and Martha are going through it, and there's some people that have come to console them. But y'all, you know, consoling is understood and it's appreciated. But sometimes I just need Jesus. I understand you telling me that everything is gonna be all right. But I need Jesus. I understand you telling me to trust in the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, Mary and Martha were waiting to put their eyes on Jesus. See, we have to remember, this is the Mary and Martha who Jesus stayed at their house. They cooked for Jesus. You can show up when it's time to eat. You can show up when you need a place to stay. But my brother is sick. Where are you? Lord, I'm going through something. Where are you? We call on Jesus, and sometimes he ain't showed up. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. She goes and meet Jesus at the gate. But Mary stayed in the house. Mary was hurt. She stayed in the house. But Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now," she says, "but even now." Who am I talking to this morning? "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Lord, I know that even now that you're in your sickness, trust in the Lord. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever it is that you ask." It's something about even now, y'all. Her brother's been in the grave for 4 days, but she still says, "even now. Lord, you wasn't here before he died, but I know even now." What is God
about to do in your life even now. Even now you feel the pain. Even now you feel the hurt. Even now the marriage ain't working right. Even now your kids ain't working right. Even now I know that whatever you ask God for, he'll give it to you. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Mary said, he will rise again when everyone else rises at the last day. You're missing it. Martha said, yes, on the last day. Martha, you're missing it. I said, your brother will rise again. Martha said, yes, I know, on the last day with everyone else. Martha, you're missing it. Martha, I am the resurrection. Martha, I am the life. I said that he will rise again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live and never die. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe it, Martha? I am the resurrection. I am the life. Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners to talk one-on-one. And she told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside of the village. Y'all hear that part? It says Jesus has stayed outside of the village. Why did Jesus stay outside of the village? The reason Jesus stayed outside of the village is because that's where he was met at. What am I saying? Jesus is only going to come as far as you allow him. If you meet Jesus at the gate and don't let him in, that's as far as he's coming. But I tell you this morning, if you let Jesus all the way in, that's how far he's coming. If you want Jesus to come all the way into your life, that's where you better meet him at. All the way in. When it comes to Jesus, it's all the way in or nothing at all. Jesus stayed outside of the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were in the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people weeping with her, a deep anger welled up on him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asks. Where is the dead body? What is God asking you this morning? Where is the deadness in your heart? Show me where the deadness is. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Some of the things that God do in your life don't mean he gonna do it in somebody else's life. Some of the things that you see God do in somebody else's life don't mean he gonna do it in your life. Couldn't he have healed him? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. There was a stone rolled across the cave. Lazarus was in a tomb. The tomb represents your heart. The stone represents a blockage. What am I saying? Here we go. He said, roll the stone aside. He told the people to roll the stone aside. Jesus truly could have told the stone to move and the stone would have moved. But he told the people, roll the stone aside. See, the thing is that there's some people in your life that's willing to help you remove the stone from your heart. And then there's some people that's in your life that ain't willing to move nothing. God chose some people that was willing to move Lazarus' stone to the side. Who you walking with? Are you walking with some people in your life that's willing to move the stone to the side? Roll the stone to the side, Jesus told him. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. What does the smell represent? The smell represents some things in your heart that you embarrass to reveal to the Lord. But you fell in to realize God know everything. She said, there would be a smell. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see the glory if you believe? See, y'all, there's something about when Jesus is on scene. It's something about when Jesus shows up. Jesus said, move the stone to the side. And when they moved the stone to the side, the Bible says that he looked up in heaven. And he said, Father, thank you for hearing me. For I know that you always hear me. But I said this so that they may believe. What's the moral of all of this? The moral of all of it is sometimes we got to stop focusing on what God can do for us. And we got to start focusing more on who Jesus is. See, he told Martha and Mary that they would see the glory. He told them that God would get the glory. So when he got to the tomb, he said, roll the stone to the side. And when they rolled the stone to the side, Jesus yelled out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forward. He knew his name. I'm telling you this morning, God knows your name. And when he said, Lazarus, come out, the Bible says that the bones stood up. And when the bones stood up, the bones began to come forward. And when the bones came forward, Jesus was on the other side. What am I saying this morning? You got to remove the stone from your heart because Jesus is on the other side. When the master shows up and the master speaks your name, you better be willing to come forward. And as Lazarus went forward, he was clothed in dead clothes. His hands were tied together. His feet were bound together. And he had a cloth over his face. And Jesus told him, remove the dead man clothes and let him go. What am I saying this morning? This morning, somebody needs to remove the stone so the master on the other side can come in. So the master can call your name. Somebody needs to allow the master to call your name. It's time to take off the dead clothes. It's time to uncover the dead clothes. But this is the thing. He was bound. He was bound. The power in this is that in order for the dead man to rise, it took the master to call his name. And even though the man, the dead bones, rose up, he was still bound. What am I saying? Some of us are serving God. Some of us are serving God, but some of us are still bound. Some of us still got our feet bound. Some of us still got our hands bound. Some of us still got the cloth over our face. Even though we're serving God, we have to take off the dead clothes. And the Bible says that after these things happen, they said, we got to kill Jesus. Because if we don't kill him, they're going to start believing in him. There's some people that don't want you to believe in Jesus. And not only did they want to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus too. They wanted to kill Lazarus because he was the miracle. What I'm telling you this morning is that Satan wants to kill each and every one of us because we are the miracle. This is the reason we stand today. What are we going to do when the master calls our name? Are we going to respond? If we're going to respond, we need to start taking away the stone so God can get the glory and Jesus can be glorified for it. This morning, I would say to each and every one of us, time is ticking and time is getting short. The master is calling because he's always calling his flock. The fact of the matter is, are we listening? Are we willing to come to the master as he called our voice? God bless you. God keep you. The doors of the church are open.